Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Monday, January 15th. My name is Magnus Teevil. Joining me today is Peter Haskell.
Hello there, everybody.
joining us shortly will be Ayu Sakamoto. We have a good show for you today. We're going to start the program off with a presentation about the Gaza-Israel situation. As you may know, South Africa has gone to The Hague to present a case against Israel at the International Criminal Court, charging that Israel is perpetrating genocide in Gaza with its current war on the Gaza Strip. The war there has been going on for more than 3 months now and has led to the loss of, according to the Palestinian Health Authority, of more than 20,000 people. Of course, the whole thing was precipitated by an attack by Hamas on October 7th, in which Hamas fighters crossed the Israeli-Gaza border, attacking a number of Israeli communities on the Israeli side of the border, killing 1,200 people, mostly almost entirely civilians, and kidnapping another 200 Israelis. The Israelis retaliated with an invasion of the Gaza Strip, which, as I said, has been going on for 3 months now. And this has created quite, as it always does, I mean, of conflicts going on in the world, Israel-Palestine seems to get more, just about more press than any others that are going on, more attention. And this is no different, and created quite a strong reaction in, well, around the world, and particularly in the West, on both sides. You see that on social media pretty much everywhere. People are really prepared to fight it out on social media with their opposing points of view. In response to the Israeli invasion, well, one of the charges about the Israeli invasion there is that 20,000 people is a great loss of life. It's mostly civilians being killed, and South Africa has taken the situation to the International Criminal Court to lodge a complaint or a charge of that Israel is engaging in genocide against the Gazan peoples. So what we're going to present here is just a reading of the South African presentation. And I think this is important just because, you know, in the daily reporting on what's happening in Gaza, you know, there tends to be, because it's news, it tends to be focus on the latest events of the last, you know, recent period of time. So you tend to get this can't see the forest for the trees kind of aspect with that kind of reporting, because it's always, well, strikes here and people are moving there and evacuations to there and displacements from elsewhere. And, you know, it's all about the immediate events and incidents that had happened and not so much about the larger position. So this kind of lays out a case for what's been happening. It is important to note that this is a charge put against the state of Israel, and there isn't Israel will be mounting its own defense at The Hague, but we're going to today present the South African case. So it comes in four parts, and I'll just briefly introduce each section because each section talks about a particular part of the South African presentation. And what's actually happening here is a number of well-known actors are reading the text of the South African presentation. And that's what we're going to hear today. So the first one starts out with the introduction to the introduction to of the Israeli presentation. So let's have a listen.
In preparing this application, okay, South Africa has paid close attention to the provisions of the Genocide Convention, to its interpretation, and to its application in the years following its entry into force on January 12, 1951.
South Africa is highly cognizant of the fact that acts of genocide are distinct from other violations of international law sanctioned or perpetrated by the Israeli government and military in Gaza, including intentionally directing attacks against the civilian population, civilian objects, and buildings dedicated to religion, education, art, science, historic monuments, hospitals, and places where the sick and wounded are collected.
Torture. The starvation of civilians as a method of warfare. And other war crimes and crimes against humanity, though there is often a close connection between all such acts.
It is important to place the acts of genocide in the broader context of Israel's conduct towards Palestinians during its 75-year-long apartheid, its 56-year-long belligerent occupation of Palestinian territory, and its 16-year-long blockade of Gaza, including the serious and ongoing violations of international law associated therewith, including grave breaches of the Fourth Geneva Convention.
South Africa is acutely aware of the particular weight of responsibility in initiating proceedings against Israel for violations of the Genocide Convention. However, South Africa is also acutely aware of its own obligation as a state party to the Genocide Convention to prevent genocide.
Israel's acts and omissions in relation to Palestinians violate the Genocide Convention. That is the shared view of numerous other state parties to the convention, including the state of Palestine itself, which has called on world leaders to take responsibility to stop the genocide against our people.
United Nations experts have also repeatedly sounded the alarm for over 10 weeks that, quote, considering statements made by Israeli political leaders and their allies, accompanied by military action in Gaza and escalation of arrests and killings in the West Bank, there is a risk of genocide against the Palestinian people.
United Nations experts have also expressed their profound concern about the failure of the international system to mobilize to prevent genocide against Palestinians, and have called on the international community to do everything it can to immediately end the risk of genocide against Palestinian people. The Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, acting under its early warning and urgent action procedure, has also called on all state parties to the Genocide Convention to fully respect their obligation to prevent genocide.
This section provides an overview of the acts in which Israel has engaged that are genocidal in character, having regard to their nature, scope, and context.
These acts are ongoing in a conflict context, where Israel is deliberately imposing telecommunications blackouts on Gaza and restricting access by fact-finding bodies and the international media.
In the 2 months since the 7th of October 2023, the number of journalists killed already exceeded that of the entirety of World War II.
Further detail will be provided regarding these acts over the course of these proceedings. However, such information as is available establish that Israel,
1, is engaged in killing Palestinians in Gaza, including Palestinian children, in large numbers.
2, is causing serious bodily and mental harm to Palestinians in Gaza, including Palestinian children, and is inflicting on them conditions of life intended to bring about their destruction as a group.
These conditions include, 3, expulsions from homes and mass displacement alongside the large-scale destruction of homes and residential areas.
4, deprivation of access to adequate food and water.
5, deprivation of access to adequate shelter, clothes, hygiene, and sanitation.
6, deprivation of access to adequate medical care.
7, the destruction of the life of the Palestinian people in Gaza.
And 8, imposing measures intended to prevent Palestinian birth.
United Nations chiefs and the International Committee of the Red Cross, no strangers to conflict situations, have called what is unfolding in Gaza a crisis of humanity.
According to the United Nations Secretary General, humanitarian veterans who've served in war zones and disasters around the world, people who've seen everything, say that they've seen nothing like what they see today in Gaza.
An entire population is besieged and under attack, denied access to essentials for survival, bombed in their homes, shelters, hospitals, and places of worship.
The UNRWA Commissioner General said, "It is a living hell. It is a war of all the superlatives. Everything is unprecedented, and we are out of words to describe what is going on."
Over 21,110 Palestinians are reported to have been killed since Israel began its military assault on Gaza. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, at least 70% of whom are believed to be women and children. An additional estimated 7,780 people, including at least 4,700 women and children, are reported missing, presumed dead under the rubble of destroyed buildings, dying slow deaths or decomposing in the streets where they were killed.
Nowhere is safe in Gaza, as the United Nations Secretary General and many other United Nations experts have now made clear to the international community. Palestinians in Gaza have been killed in their homes, in places where they sought shelter, in hospitals, in UNWRA schools, in churches, in mosques, and as they tried to find food and water for their families.
They have been killed, if they failed to evacuate, in the places to which they fled, and even as they attempted to flee along Israeli-declared safe routes. Reports are multiplying of Israeli soldiers performing summary executions, including of multiple members of the same family, men, women, and older people. One such account is the reported execution in Gaza City of at least 11 male members of the Annan family and their relatives, boys and men, said to have been separated out by Israeli soldiers and shot in front of their family.
There are also reports of unarmed people, including Israeli hostages, being shot dead on site, despite posing no threat, including while waving white flags. Attacks on Palestinian homes and residential blocks account for a significant number of the dead, with Israel reportedly using artificial intelligence to generate up to 100 bombing targets per day.
Israel is said to be dropping dumb bombs on Gaza, as well as heavy bombs weighing up to 900 kilograms, which have a predicted lethal radius of up to 360 meters and are expected to cause severe injury and damage as far as 800 meters from the point of impact. This weaponry is being deployed in one of the most densely populated areas in the world, where approximately one in every 100 people has now been killed.
For Palestinian children in particular, quote,
Death is everywhere and nowhere is safe. A total of over 7,729 Palestinian children have been killed in Gaza to date. Over 115 Palestinian children in Gaza are killed every day. It is estimated that more Palestinian children were killed in the first 3 weeks in Gaza alone, a total of 3,195, than the total number of children killed each year across the world's conflict zones since 2019. The scale of Palestinian child killings in Gaza is such that United Nations chiefs have described it as, quote, a graveyard for children.
An estimated 1,779 Palestinian families in Gaza have lost multiple family members, and hundreds of multi-generational families have been killed in their entirety, with no remaining survivors.
Doctors, journalists, teachers, academics, and other professionals are also being killed at wholly unprecedented rates. To date, Israel has killed over 311 doctors, nurses, and other health workers, including doctors and ambulance drivers, killed on duty. 103 journalists, amounting to over one per day. 40 civil defense workers, responsible for helping to dig victims out of the rubble, killed while on duty. And over 209 teachers and educational staff. 144 United Nations employees have been killed. The highest number of aid workers killed in UN history in such a short time. It is estimated that it will take years to recover the remains of people from beneath the rubble, and that the costly technical process will not result in the identification of each body.
That is the end of part one, the introduction of the South African case file charging genocide against Israel at The Hague. We're going to go to part two now, which addresses specifically issues related to causing serious bodily and mental harm.
That repeated exposure to conflict and violence, including witnessing and experiencing housing demolition, combined with Israel's siege of Gaza since 2007, is associated with high levels of psychological distress amongst Palestinians. Indeed, the United Nations Security Council Resolution 2712 expressed its deep concern that the disruption of access to education has a dramatic impact on children, and that conflict has a lifelong effect on their physical and mental health. This disruption and its dramatic impact on children must be considered in particular and in the context of the number of Palestinian students and educators who have been killed, 4,037 and 209 respectively, and wounded estimated at 7,259. And the number of Palestinian schools having been damaged or destroyed, 352, or 74% of the schools in the whole of Gaza. Medical professionals assess that the health effects on all Palestinian children, women, men, older people, people with disabilities, and people marginalized identities are immense. An emergency coordinator for Medicine Sans Frontières, interviewed on her return from 5 weeks in Gaza, described, "It's even worse in reality than it looks. The amount of suffering is just something incomparable. It's really unbearable. I'm speechless when I try and think of the future of these children. Generations of children who will be handicapped, who will be traumatized. The very children in our mental health program are telling us that they would rather die than continue living in Gaza now."
The extreme levels of bombardment and lack of any safe areas are also causing severe mental trauma in the Palestinian population in Gaza. Even before the latest onslaught, Palestinians in Gaza suffered severe trauma from prior attacks. 80% of Palestinian children experienced higher levels of emotional distress, demonstrating bedwetting, 79%, and reactive mutism, 59%, and engaging in self-harm, 59%, and suicidal thoughts, 55%. 11 weeks of relentless bombardment, displacement, and loss will necessarily have led to a further increase in those figures, particularly for the estimated tens of thousands of Palestinian children who have lost at least one parent, and those who are the sole surviving members of their families. For the families who remain intact or partially intact, quote, "It's about doing everything you can so your child doesn't realize that you've lost control."
There are reports of Israeli forces using white phosphorus in densely populated areas in Gaza. As the World Health Organization describes, even small amounts of white phosphorus can cause deep and severe burns, penetrating even through bone and capable of reigniting after initial treatment. There are no functioning hospitals in the north of Gaza in particular, such that injured persons are reduced to waiting to die, unable to seek surgery or medical treatment beyond first aid, dying slow, agonizing deaths from their injuries or from resultant infections.
Large numbers of Palestinian civilians, including children, have reportedly been arrested, blindfolded, forced to undress and remain outside in cold weather, before being forced onto trucks and taken to unknown locations. Medics and first responders in particular have been repeatedly detained by Israeli forces, with many being detained incommunicado at unknown locations. Videos published by Israeli media on Christmas Day appeared to show hundreds of Palestinians rounded up inside Al Yarmouk football stadium in Gaza City, including children, older people, and persons with disabilities, being forced to strip to their underwear in degrading conditions. United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or UNOCHA, reports video footage showing bruises and burns on the bodies of detainees. Images of mutilated and burned corpses, alongside videos of armed attacks by Israeli soldiers, are reportedly circulated in Israel via a Telegram channel called 72 Virgins Uncensored, billed as exclusive content from the Gaza Strip.
All right, that was part two, discussing the charges of genocidal acts committed against the Gazan people. This is a reading of the South African charge to the International Court at The Hague against Israel, making charges of genocide. We're going to move on to part three here of the reading, discussing mass expulsions from homes and displacement.
Israel is repeatedly issuing evacuation orders demanding that Palestinian civilians in certain areas of Gaza leave their homes for other areas. The first such order issued on the 13th of October 2023 demanded that 1.1 million Palestinians living or otherwise present in the north of Gaza, including Gaza City, move to the south of Gaza within a 24-hour window. The International Committee of the Red Cross warned that the evacuation directive, impacting approximately 36% of Gaza's territory, combined with the complete siege of Gaza, was not compatible with international humanitarian law. The World Health Organization warned that it could be tantamount to a death sentence for hospital patients. The evacuation was, however, maintained and has been reissued on a number of occasions, including on the 28th of October 2023, ahead of the Israeli announcement of ground operations in northern Gaza, and again thereafter. Israel has also issued more specific evacuation notices, ordering people in certain parts of Gaza City to evacuate to other parts. Many of those who are unwilling or unable to evacuate are then bombed in their homes.
It is estimated that over 1.9 million Palestinians, out of Gaza's population of 2.3 million people, approximately 85% of the population, have been forced to flee their homes.
Palestinians fleeing the north pursuant to Israel's evacuation orders were urged to move south along Gaza's main traffic artery, Salah al-Din Road, on certain days during certain designated hours.
However, there were numerous reported instances of shelling along the routes and of other violence by Israeli forces against evacuating Palestinian civilians, including inhuman and degrading treatment, arbitrary arrests, unlawful detention, and killings. Israel has also continued bombing south of Wadi Gaza throughout this time, killing many Palestinians who evacuated, initially prompting many Palestinian families to seek to return north to at least risk being bombed in the civilian surrounding of their homes.
On Christmas Eve itself, the Israeli army bombed Al-Maghazi refugee camp in the middle area, an area to which tens of thousands of Palestinians had fled from the north, killing an estimated 86 people, including many women and children, and injuring many others.
For many Palestinians, the forced evacuation from their homes is necessarily permanent. Israel has now damaged or destroyed an estimated 355,000 Palestinian homes, amounting to 60% of the entire housing stock in Gaza. The extent of the destruction in the north of Gaza in particular has rendered it largely unlivable, with the destruction in the south reaching a similar level. As noted by the Special Rapporteur on the Human Rights of Internally Displaced Persons, Gaza's housing and civilian infrastructure have been razed to the ground, frustrating any realistic prospects for displaced Gazans to return home, repeating a long history of mass forced displacement of Palestinians by Israel. The forced displacements in Gaza are genocidal, in that they are taking place in circumstances calculated to bring about the physical destruction of Palestinians in Gaza.
And that was part three. We're going to continue with the final section now. That was a reading from the South African charge against Israel at the International Court in The Hague, discussing mass expulsions from homes and displacements. And the final section for today, part four, discussing the deprivation of food to Palestinians in Gaza.
Experts are now predicting that more Palestinians in Gaza may die from starvation and disease than airstrikes. And yet Israel is intensifying its bombing campaign, precluding the effective delivery of humanitarian assistance to Palestinians. It is clear that Israel is, through its actions and policies in Gaza, deliberately inflicting on Palestinians conditions of life calculated to bring about their destruction.
On the 9th of October 2023, Israel declared a, quote, complete siege on Gaza, allowing no electricity, no food, no water, and no fuel to enter the Strip. Although the siege has been partially alleviated since then, with some aid trucks being permitted in since the 21st of October 2023, this remains wholly insufficient and well below the pre-October 2023 average of approximately 500 trucks per day.
Moreover, fuel imports permitted since 21 November 2023 are well below the minimum requirements for essential humanitarian operations, meaning that such limited humanitarian aid as is being allowed in cannot easily be moved around Gaza away from entry points.
As the Secretary General has starkly assessed, the level of destruction in Gaza is now so catastrophic that, quote, the conditions for the effective delivery of humanitarian aid no longer exist. But even if sufficient supplies were permitted into Gaza, intense bombardment and hostilities, Israeli restrictions on movement, fuel shortages, and interrupted communications make it impossible for UN agencies and their partners to reach most of